Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Level Up Anime!
Let's go! Woo-hoo.
I'm your host, Aziz, and joining me, as always, my lovely wife and current owner of Acheron from Honkai Star Rail.
Yeah, I do.
Shara. Shara, what's up? Yeah.
Thank you for acknowledging the big dub I made in Honkai Star Rail. Guys, this gacha game, you think I'd be like a gambler at this point? No money was involved, but I got this OP character and she's dope AF. I got her like pretty quickly, so I am a new owner of a nice shiny Acheron.
So I know you haven't played Genshin Impact, but she's like the Honkai version of, I guess, like she's like a mix of Raiden Shogun and then also Yula. Except, like, useful, because, like, Yula is very, very niche and, like, no one owns her because she doesn't hit anything. But, like, Raiden Shogun is, like, the electric Archon, like, the lightning Archon, which is, like, the, what do they call them in Honkai Star? The Aeons. Except, like, in Genshin, like, the quote-unquote Aeons are, like, actually playable characters. So, like, Acheron coming out, very big deal, just like when Raiden Shogun came out in Genshin way back in their 2.0 version. Or 2 point, whatever. Very big deal. So, I really want, because I really love Raiden Shogun in Genshin, like, I really want Acheron, but hopefully by the time this episode comes out, I will be also a proud owner of Acheron, but as of right now, as of this moment in time, she has not come home yet. So, prayers up.
She's just busy getting some milk for you.
The barista blend almond milk.
Heck yeah. She came nice and early for me, though, I'm not gonna lie. Like, dude, I was saving up all the little, like, elements and materials so I can, like, level her up and stuff. Like, I had this marked out on my calendar. I was like, I'm going to get her, and I'm going to make sure I got all the things ready for her welcome home party.
Have you used her yet in combat?
Oh my gosh, yes. Even though I haven't, like, fully leveled her up, like, with her relics and stuff, like, her weapons, I guess that's the equivalent, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
Genshin? Yeah, yeah. Like, she's so OP. Oh my gosh. Like, her ultimate... It's like a running joke. I think you told me about it. It's like Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yeah, it's the domain expansion in Jujutsu Kaisen. So cool.
I was like, I'm in the, like, the upside down or something. Like, where am I right now?
I laugh at, like, my old self because I actually thought about skipping Acheron. I was like, yeah, you know, she looks really cool and stuff, but, like, I don't need another DPS character. And then I saw her animations and I was like, nope, I need her. I need her.
Like, her design is cool, her animations are cool, like, her just, like, combating people, like, just on the field and stuff is, like, super dope. I'm just like, she's just perfect. I love her.
She has my favorite thing, like, in anime that a swordsman does, when they, like unsheath their sword and then, like, attack somebody, but, like, you don't see the slash, but then, like, all you see is the character, like, resheathing their sword, and then as they, like, sheath their sword... Mm-hmm. They just, you know, all the slashes and stuff come out and the, you know, the character dies. It's like,
very
okay,
badass.
This is kind of a spoiler for Bleach, if you guys haven't watched it, but it's not that far into Bleach. But like, how far did you get in Bleach, I guess?
Me? Yeah. I was like a kid or something, like probably just like the first season.
Okay, do you remember Rukia's older brother?
No, very vaguely.
Okay, never mind. All right. There's a character like the name Byakuya. If you go and watch his Bankai, it's called Senbon Zakura. Like, mm-hmm. It's that kind of thing. It's like, he kind of comes up right next to the enemy, like, pulls out a sword and then, like, puts it back in. And then next thing you know is, like, all these flowers and stuff come out. It's, like, really cool looking. And then all of a sudden...
Oh, that's cool.
And then all of a sudden, it's just, like, all these slashes and the guy dies. You know?
Flowers. That's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a cherry blossom thing. It's really cool.
Oh, that's so cute. I mean, speaking of flowers, that's very relevant to the anime that we're going to be talking about today, right?
That's right. So, while those, I was going to say, those fields of flowers, when Byakuya pulls it out, is usually signaling somebody's death.
Yeah.
The anime we're about to talk about, the flowers mean more like they're still living on.
Mm-hmm. Very chill. Very chill vibes.
Yeah. Not quite Bleach vibes. But that being said, the anime that we're going to talk about today is Frieren, Beyond Journey's End.
Oh my goodness, what a ride this anime was. I'm so excited to talk about today.
Yeah, I think that we kind of came in without like huge expectations,
mm-hmm.
just like reading the synopsis and stuff like that. And it wasn't even like totally on our radar until it came out and we went on Mal and we saw that it was rated over a 9, right? Like back when the first 4 episodes came out. So, you know, we watched it and we were like, yo, this is actually really good.
Yeah, right. I remember like sitting on your couch, like we just finished like all the other seasonals we were watching at the time. We're like, we need to watch something else. We already caught up. And they were like scrolling around, like, wait, I heard like dude some good things about this. It's not like, you know, the big kid on the block with Jujutsu Kaisen going out and stuff, you know, all the other things. But when we started watching, I was like, Lord, by a lot of things, which we'll talk about today for sure.
That's right, that's right. So the way we're going to break this up is we're going to kind of do like a spoiler-free version. We're going to talk about the synopsis of the story, and we're going to talk a little bit about like what makes it so good that, like, you know, you should watch it. Because, okay, spoiler for us. Fearing's good, you should watch it.
Yes.
But we're going to talk about why, and why it's so hyped up, and if it's overrated or underrated or properly rated. And then we're going to get more into a more spoiler discussion to talk more and more about, like, in depth about the great parts about Frieren, maybe the not so great parts, but like what really makes it such a top tier anime.
As of right now, since Frieren is done at this point of the recording and stuff, it is steamrolling is the best way of putting it, like on my anime list, like this forum site where a bunch of other animes are rated and whatnot. And it's steamrolling like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood right now. And the fan base for Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, I don't think are very happy about it.
Yeah, not at all. So my anime list is like the IMDb of anime. So Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood has been in first place for years and years, like at least over, at least a decade, mm-hmm. at least as long as I remember. So the fact that something has, usually when something dethrones it, it doesn't stay dethroned for very long because the fan base, the FMA Brotherhood fan base is kind of toxic, so they'll just go downvote. They'll either upvote, upvote FMA Brotherhood, or they'll downvote the other anime. But the reality is like most anime that are that highly rated aren't quite as good as FMA Brotherhood. Like, as much as I loved Oshinoko when it came out, I don't think Oshinoko was as good as FMA Brotherhood. And yeah. Oshinoko was, rated higher for a minute. So it's been a while since Frieren came out, and it's still above as of this recording, so that says something.
That's a good example you brought up, Aziz, because like Oshinoko, like the first episode was phenomenal. We won't dive into that obviously, but the first episode is great. But then consistency wise, like it's not as great like the rest of the episodes as the first one. If you compare everything together, still a great anime altogether, but consistency wise, it's not equivalent episode per episode in how hype it is. But when you see, and when we talk about Frieren, like you see that like the consistency with each single episode pretty much stands amongst each other, kind of like Full Metal Alchemist. Like every single episode is like really dope. Same thing with Frieren. Like all the episodes are really good altogether.
Yeah. Without further ado, Char, let's start talking about Frieren.
Gosh, let's go. All right. So, like Aziz was saying, we're thinking of doing like a little bit of like a non-spoiler part for people that are interested in watching Frieren but just haven't dipped their toes into the series yet. So, I think we can give a little synopsis, so to speak. Just to get people a little interested and see how hype we were when we first like started like watching it ourselves. But to give like a very general gist of the storyline, and trust me, just hear me out. It might sound really general and very like, quote unquote boring. Just hear me out. Because essentially you're following one of the characters, and her name's Frieren. Crazy, I know, that's a tale. And you're following her like years later. After she's like on this quest with her old gang, after defeating the demon lord, essentially. And like, essentially as an elf, so Frieren's an elf, she outlives her comrades. And then because of that, she just journeys across the world, meets new people, builds new bonds, has new adventures, while also reminiscing on her past adventures with her old gang. And it's really cool how it kind of bounces back and forth between her old friends and her new friends and new adventures she has. And it's really interesting because we're not following a typical fantasy where it's just like, oh yeah, we're gonna fight the demon lord and like be really OP and like gain magical powers. It's like all the stuff afterwards, which is really cool to see and a little different. So that actually got me interested to begin with.
Yeah, it's really cool that the normal trope is like the band of heroes is gonna get together and they're gonna fight to defeat the demon lord. And that's like the main story of like the most basic like JRPG or a fantasy anime or something like that. And that is usually good. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Those stories are usually pretty entertaining.
Oh yeah, they're so fun.
but they've been kind of overdone, right? Very few times do we actually get a story about what happens after the Demon Lord is defeated, right? What happens in the peaceful times? Frieren decides, let's answer that question. Because not a lot of anime do. I mean, like, I watched, like, last year, there was this anime called, like, Level 1 Demon Lord and One Room Hero. And so, that anime is different because it's more of a comedy, but it's more, like, it's more about, like, 10 years after the Demon Lord was defeated, and, like, let's take a look at the heroes now and what they're doing. And the main character just becomes, like, a bomb, and, you know, the other characters are out, like, doing their own thing. But Frieren, much different. It's pretty cool because I think you kind of get, like, you get the wrong idea from the first few episodes. Obviously, we're not going to talk about that now. We'll talk about it more in the spoiler section. But in general, Frieren's a really chill, episodic slice of life with, like, an overarching plot.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Like, it's interesting because a lot of fantasies that I've seen, isekais or otherwise, like, they're very comedic. There's definitely comedy in Frieren, but they do it in, like, a serious way because Frieren, like I said, like, this is obviously something we know from the very beginning. She's an elf. She lives, like, thousands upon thousands of years. So not only do you see the peace and the consequences and what happens after her gang defeats the Demon Lord, like, right after, but you see it, like, thousands of years later, hundreds of years later, and how that's impacted and how she herself grows along the way. And there's a lot of character growth throughout this. And the world building, phenomenal. Well, I won't go into it now, but I don't know. It's such a refreshing take. It's such a refreshing take on the fantasy genre. And that's what I loved about it from the get-go.
I think refreshing is one of the best ways to describe Frieren. Because it's just chill, it's relaxing, it's something different than a lot of other anime in this genre, but at the same time, it has a goal. Its goal is to give you a slow-paced, methodical, episodic tale of the growth of a character that has lived hundreds upon hundreds, thousands of years, but is still growing as a person, despite the fact that she's done all these crazy feats. And even though she's met so many people, it's like the people that she continues to meet and the journeys that she continues to take still have her growing as a person. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of lessons that Frieren tells. Some of them are pretty simple, but some of them are pretty deep despite their simplicity. And it does just a really good job of telling its story.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only is she understanding herself, but she's understanding the humans around her and building those personal connections that she otherwise didn't have maybe before or now after. And I find it interesting because there's a running joke in the anime community, like, during the airing of the show and even afterwards. Like, it's the most exciting, boring anime ever, essentially.
Yeah, I think I made that joke, too, because that's a great... But despite it, you know, we're talking about it being chill, we're talking about it being boring, but yo, there is some nice animation, and there is great action.
Yes.
There's a term in anime called sakuga, and sakuga is basically, like, when all of a sudden the animation during a scene just, like, jumps up exponentially. And it's just like, whoa, all of a sudden, we're going from, you know, let's say 30 FPS to, like, 60 FPS all of a sudden for, like, a minute. Obviously, I'm just
The budget.
But the budget definitely went up for this scene,
Yeah.
And Frieren has a few of those in these, like, awesome magical fights. And it's, it's not an action anime by any means, but it's got some nice action.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you stay there for the characters and, like, the world. But, like, you really get hooked in when you see those action scenes. Like, I remember, like, my jaw was dropped. I'll talk about it later, but my jaw was on the floor after some of these scenes. I'm like, did we just watch a movie right now?
Yeah, seriously. Like, the animation jumps up that high. I'd say, look, if you're looking for an anime with extremely well-written characters, a slow burn in the plot and in the story, but worth the patience, worth the wait, some great action scenes, some great life lessons. Frieren's for you.
No, absolutely. Like, when I was looking into the series too, it reminded me a lot of, like, other series that I really liked. I don't know about you, but it kind of reminded me of To Your Eternity in a way, because it was also kind of slow. But they're also, like, the main character, like, builds, like, lifelong connections with people over time, over a very long period of time. And, like, there's this one video game that I really enjoy called Death Stranding by Kojima Productions. And pretty much the whole premise is this one guy just traversing across this barren terrain, building connections to, and the whole game is just him walking. This walking simulator, but like it's the most amazing walking simulator ever because you're building like a new world with new people and stuff, and it's over like many years, and that's kind of like Freedom 2. So that's why like I saw it, I'm like, wait, this is kind of cool. I kind of like this like slow burn. I'm a slow burn person with shoujo and shonen and fantasy.
Yeah, and what's cool about Freedom 2 is like it sounds like it's gonna be a tropey anime, right? It's a fantasy anime. How many times have we heard of like a medieval fantasy with knights and with magic and with demons and dragons and monsters and all that? And it's like, oh yeah, another one of these. Like, they're a dime a dozen. But Frieren, like, goes against all the tropes. Like, it knows what the tropes are and then twists them into something different. And we're going to give some more examples when we get to our spoiler section in a little bit. But it's a lot more interesting than it sounds. Like we said, it's the best boring anime of all time.
Hopefully that sells you. Best boring anime. Let's go. Like, have a cup of tea, but also be really hyped while you're drinking it.
It's meant as a compliment, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was so relaxing to watch, but also so hyped. It's like a weird mixture of feelings. And like, that's what makes it so special to me. I think that's why people were very like taken aback in a good way. It's like, this is different. This is unique. This is refreshing. Like, we need more, you know, mangakas making stuff like this. And trust me, I'm going to start reading very soon.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything else that we can kind of point out before we get to our spoiler section?
I mean, shit, if we haven't, like, sold you guys already, then we'll have to do, like, a FaceTime call with you because it's so good.
All right. That being said, from this point forward, we're going to start talking with some spoilers. So if you're interested in Frieren and haven't watched it yet or haven't finished the series, stop listening, go watch, and then come back and hear what the rest of what we got to say.
Yeah, we'll be waiting.
Yes, we will. We're
waiting right now.
just like Freeran.
Yeah, literally. Spoilers, careful. Waiting. Okay, you're back? Okay, let's continue.
All right, Shara. Let's give some examples of, you know, we've been speaking pretty generally, but now we're going to throw in some spoilers here. So let's give some actual examples of what makes Freeran so special to us.
Oh my gosh. The list is endless for me. It is honestly such a special anime in general, and like over the course of 28 episodes, I feel like it holds such a special place in my heart, weirdly enough. But like, I think the biggest thing for me is like the theme of memories is what I really love about it. We have Frieren, our lovely little elf girl, super adorable cinnamon roll of an elf, and she experiences her life back in the past with her original comrades, Himmel, and like the other guys. I can't remember their names right now. But like the little trio, quartet. And she, I don't know, like she's not the most emotional person. She kind of like lollydolls behind them and stuff. And you know, uses her magic and whatever. And you know, they're trying to bond with her. She's trying to understand them in a way. But she's just like, you know what? I'm just going to do my job, you know? But then over the course of the rest of her life, and for the first 28 episodes, it's like first years afterwards, after the defeating of the Demon Lord, you start to see her reminisce on these memories as she's developing these new bonds with people like Fern, which is one of her, you know, students later on, people like Stark, which is also somebody that joins her group, and other people along the way that she meets on her adventures. And I love how when she meets these new people, she reminisces on these past adventures with her old gang that I don't want to say took for granted, but she didn't really appreciate them in the moment. And then she gets to appreciate them in these new people, these new bonds that she has. And it's really beautiful to see that she's growing in a sense of being able to look back. It's also very bittersweet because obviously it's been quite a number of years and human life doesn't really span that long. So him, unfortunately, as we know, because people here are listening that have already caught up with the series, Himmel has passed on. That's a given. But she looks back and thinks like, wow, he really like showed me a lot of new adventures and new experiences. And I hope I can pass on those things to these new people and these new experiences and grow from that as well. So memories is a big theme for me. And I absolutely loved how they tackled that.
Bittersweet's a really good way to put it, because I think if you watch the first four episodes, you think that this anime is going to be like a Clannad or like an Anohana or a Your Name or something like that's going to be a tearjerker.
Oh, yeah.
Because it really comes off as if it's like we have this character, Frieren, and she is just, you know, starting to realize after all her friends die, like, oh shit, I really took this for granted. Because I know you said, like, it's not that she took it for granted, but, like, she kind of took it for granted. Let's be real.
I was trying to be nice. I love Frieren.
But, like, Frieren goes through so much character growth, right? Because before all of this, and, like, before she even meets Himmel, she is a person that time is just, like, it's just, like a year is like a day to her. She doesn't think very much about the flow of time because she's an elf. She takes time for granted. And she always thought, like, why would I ever involve myself with humans, right? They have such short lifespans. Like, there's only so much that they can do. I'd rather just take my time, learn as much about magic as I possibly can. But she's not the type of person that is interested in magic for combat. She's just interested in magic because of the art of magic. Because her master kind of taught her it that way. And we find out that her master is Flam, the greatest human mage of all time, who taught Frieren. But she didn't teach, she might have taught Frieren to be this badass demon killer, but at the same time, she didn't teach her to, like, you know, want for power necessarily. So when Himmel meets Frieren for the first time, Frieren is like, why would you want me to join your party? Like, I'm not like some super combat mage. Like, if you want somebody else to fight, like, you can find other mages. And Himmel's like, nah, I want you. And we find out, like, at the end, like, the reason why he wants her is more because of his past. And, like, when he was a kid, he got lost, and Frieren actually helped him find his way back to his village. But, you know, at the time, Himmel doesn't say that. He's just more like, nah, you're the type of person that you seem like you don't want to fight, but, like, yo, you're gonna fight to protect your friends. And so Frieren, the entire time, they spend 10 years together as a party to end up fighting and defeating the Demon Lord. But to Frieren, 10 years is like an afternoon nap. So at the end of the day, Frieren looks back at that time and is like, it's 10 years. Because everybody else is thinking, like, yo, 10 years, we spent a lot of time with each other. Like, we know each other super well. But to Frieren, is like, it's just 10 years. Like, I barely know you guys. You guys are just like, 1/100th of my lifespan. Like, this isn't really that big of a deal. It isn't until Himmel and then Hyder, the priest, pass away that Frieren starts to realize, like, wait, these guys were a lot more important to me than I thought. And then she goes and she meets up with Aizen. Aizen is like the warrior. And they kind of talk to each other. And Aizen kind of helps her realize, like, yo, Frieren, like, even now, you know, you talk all this shit, but even now, you look back really fondly at those 10 years that we spent together, don't you? And she's like, yeah, I kind of do. And that conversation kind of triggers the purpose of the journey. Frieren Beyond Journey's End, now we have a new journey. And that is to go to this land up in the far north where it is said that humans can talk to those that have passed on. It doesn't really explain, like, are they ghosts or are they, like, images of people, you know, are their souls collected there? We don't really know. All we know is that it's a land in the far north past where the, you know, like, in the area of where the Demon Lord used to live. And so Frieren now decides that she is going to journey there with Hyder's adopted child, essentially, Fern, and then Aizen's student, his disciple, Stark.
And the next generation.
The next generation. And so Frieren looks at Stark, she looks at Fern, and she kind of sees her old comrades in them. And the whole show is about remembering based on, you know, the interactions and, like, the interactions between Fern and Stark, the points, the cities that they visit, all that. She'll, like, look back and she'll be like, oh, I remember when I did this with Himmel. Oh, I remember when I did this with Hyder. Or, like, oh, I remember when I did this with Aizen. And she looks back very fondly and then uses those memories as lessons to help now in the future.
Mm-hmm. Like, with all that being said, like, with that great summary, it really goes to show, like, the importance of the age-old saying that we hear all the time from our parents or grandparents and so on, like, you don't know what you have until it's gone. Like, honestly, yep. Because after the passing of those two heroes, like, literal heroes and people that she looked up to at the end of the day, right? That's when she knows, like, hey, like, they're really big part of my life. They impacted me in so many ways that I'm only now realizing, because like as you said, those are just like blips in her life. It's like, oh, this was, like you said, afternoon nap. Yeah, it's just very interesting. Like, I'm just talking about the friendships that she made along the way, right? And like how much she appreciates it later on. Like in so many examples I can go into. Like, for example, birthdays. Like a birthday is nothing to her. It's like a year, a human year. But like literally, I think this is the first couple episodes, like she celebrates Fern's birthday. And that's like a big thing. Like she gives her like a little like barrette or something for her hair. Similar to how like our boy Himmel gave her like a little ring to commemorate like a special, well, he was trying to be a bit more romantic, but she didn't really get it at the time. But he was trying to commemorate like a special occasion, like a birthday, for example, right? So like a little thing, she's like learning how to bond with other people, especially humans, and gradually understand them as well as herself, which is really cool.
I think it's Stark that gave the same ring.
Was it Stark? Yeah, Stark. I know like Himmel like went on 1 year or something.
Yeah, no, Himmel gives Frieren the ring, trying to be romantic, but like Frieren didn't know what the meaning was.
Yeah.
Right? But Stark didn't know what the meaning was either. And he was with Fern. He's trying to make up to her because she was upset at him for something dumb, because, you know, they always get into childish quarrels. And Stark is like, okay, like, well, what would you want? And Fern's like, well, you have to pick for me. And so he sees the ring, starts like, okay, does this look good? And then Fern gets really happy. She knows what the meaning is behind that ring, but Stark doesn't know. And then the priest with them sign is like, I should tell you, but I'm not going to tell you. So he never brings it up.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just talking about, like, yeah, she did something special for her birthday, but it's kind of similar in, like, the occasion of, like, Himmel, like, celebrating with some stuff. Yeah, so, like, she celebrates birthdays, which is, like, really cool. And, like, even, like, the restaurant scene where, like, back in the day when she was with her old gang and stuff, like, she went to that restaurant.
Yep.
She, like, enjoyed it so much. She's like, I don't want you to change it at all. Like, it'll probably change in a couple years or whatever, or thousands of years. The owner's going to change, you know, the recipes are going to change. And they're like, no, because you guys are the heroes. We're going to keep the recipe in your honor. And she comes back with, you know, the next generation. And they get order, like, a bunch of different foods and whatnot. Super adorable. And she's just so happy. Every time I see Fern and, like, Stark, and especially Frieren, like, smile, I just feel all warm and fuzzy. Especially in those scenes, too, when she reminisces.
I love that restaurant scene, too, because the reality was the recipe did change.
Yeah. But
Frieren still enjoyed it so much anyway. And it's very symbolic of the fact that, like, her party changed, but she's still super happy. Like, yeah, she might not be with Himmel and Hyder and Aizen anymore. She's with Fern and Stark, but she's still super happy.
Exactly.
Like, this time I'm going to enjoy it.
Exactly. It really goes to show, like, it just depends on who your company is. And that goes for everything in life.
And because Frieren is starting to spend more time with humans, she's starting to see the impact that her and Himmel and those guys made 80 years or whatever prior when she visits all these new villages, right? They have, like, statues. Himmel made it a point, like, I am going to have a statue, like, anywhere that I can get a statue, like, in every city that I save. And that's more for the memories, right? So that people always remember, like, what Himmel did and all that stuff. And, like, hey, the reason why we can live in these peaceful times now are because these heroes fought for us and protected us. And what's crazy, too, is, like, Frieren was a part of this party. She didn't realize the impact until much, much later on that she had on all these people. We even start meeting, like, other mages and stuff later on that are like, oh, yeah, like, I decided I wanted to become stronger because you guys saved my village. And it's like they're meeting, like, a living legend, but Frieren is just, like, walking around as if as if it's just nothing. It's crazy.
Exactly. Like, there's people that looked up to her since they were kids and spoke about her, like, old folklore. And they finally approach her, like, well, you inspired me to, like, get into, like, this kind of field, you know? And she's like, oh, okay, that's cool.
And that's the best part about Frieren. She's so nonchalant about everything. She's like, oh, that's cute.
Literally, all she loves is collecting new spells and finding treasure and secrets and getting to shenanigans just because of that. I love it.
Yeah, I love that she keeps Himmel and, like, those guys' legacies on, even to the dumb things that they would do. Because, like, for example, like Shara was kind of alluding to, Himmel had a habit of, you can't go through an entire, you know, you can't go to the next floor of a dungeon until you have explored the entire floor. So, like, every part of the dungeon must be explored. And so Frieren does that, and she takes it a step further. Even though she knows, like, these chests might be traps, or, like, these areas might be booby trapped, she still is like, no, I have to go see it. Because, like, what if it isn't a trap? That means it could be this really cool treasure.
No, seriously. I feel like she's, like, every video game person that, like, is a completionist like us. It's like, I need to, like, figure out all the secrets on this floor and get all the treasures.
Do you know how annoying it is for me right now in Honkai that I haven't gotten all the chests in Panacone yet? Like, it's so annoying because I get all the chests every video game that I play. Like, I have to see every nook and cranny of this dungeon.
I always just, like, walk around, like, trying to talk to people to see if there's more secrets and more missions. Yep. So I get it.
So Freerun just like us. Freerun just like us.
Just like us for real. Just like us for real. But, yeah, honestly, just there's so much involved with Freerun. Like, there's all those, like, cute, like, silly scenes, obviously. But then, like, the whole concept of, like, memories and the fact that, like, the biggest thing for me, too, is, like, you have somebody live on, even though they passed away, with the people that remember you. As long as people remember you, you're still living on in a way.
Yep.
Through others, which is, like, amazing and obviously is ties really well to life. Like, how we remember our parents and our grandparents and their legacies and their stories, right? And that gets passed down to the next generation, Freerun's going to be here for a while to be able to pass down to the other kiddos.
I know that's not, like, an original theme. A lot of morals in a lot of anime are, like, you don't die until everybody forgets about you. So yeah. As long as somebody, like, remembers your existence, you're still living on, right? Mm-hmm. But Freerun does it in a way that's, like, the story is very well told, right? Like, we talked, you know, alluded to prior, like, the world building and the characters are really well written, and the story is, it's a slow burn, but, like, it keeps going. It's very consistent with how good the writing is. But, yeah, like, Freerun does such a good job of displaying its themes, even if, like, they're simple, even if they're not always original. It just does it in such an impactful way. And the first, like, few episodes where you really get to feel that, you know, that bittersweet feeling of just, like, oh, Freerun's starting to realize, like, wait, I just spent, like, 50 years, like, left these guys, and then I came back, like, they're about to die. And, like, I could have spent all this time getting to know them, and now I realize, like, I feel like I barely know them. And then it's, like, she starts spending the rest of the show running into either old acquaintances or running into, like, the grandchildren of people that, you know, from villages that they have saved, and then, like, them talking about the hero party or seeing things that were like, oh, yeah, I remember when we did this. And she's like, wait, I guess I do know them a little bit better than I thought. Like, oh, these were actually very happy memories. So I know we were kind of repeating that, but it goes without saying that, like, this is a main theme of Freerun.
Yeah, it's very emotional. Like, that first episode where she sees Himmel again, you know, they're reminiscing a little bit about their adventures, and then unfortunately he passes on and she goes to the funeral and whatnot and sees him being buried in, like, a beautiful array of flowers, right? I remember, like, me and you got so emotional. So tears were shed. I remember, I think your brother came back from, like, hanging out and stuff with his friends, and, like, we had to pause. You're like, yo, we just got to a really emotional part.
Yeah, he cut us off, like, right, yeah. Right as I think, like, Hyder was, thanks, Zeki, about to die. That was a good timing. Save me from tearing up.
Right. All the tissues. But it really goes to show, like, the fact that, like, you could have such a moving episode at the very beginning. I mean, a lot of animes do that, but, like, Freerun did such a good job at doing that with the pieces they had in, like, the 23-minute time span. Like, in our previous episode, we had, like, a best standalone episodes. Also, that was a great standalone episode, to be honest.
And what's cool, too, about Freerun is, like, we've been talking a lot about this thing about memories, and, like, as she visits new places, she'll remember the old days. The use of flashbacks in Freerun is elite. Like, It's not like some anime where it's like, oh shit, like, you know, this enemy is about to die, or this person's about to die, all right, we gotta have a flashback now of, like, their whole life story. Or, like, certain anime that might just use flashback as, like, a filler for space, so that, like, oh yeah,
you're calling, like, out some animes that I know of.
You know, so it's like trying to kill some time. Or, you know, it might be a flashback of, like, hey, remember this scene from, like, 10 episodes ago? Like, yeah, just in case you forgot, we're gonna put it. No, like,
only Freerun, like, we binged.
Freerun uses flashbacks so well because it's very, like, realistic in the sense where it's like, if there's a spot that you went to, like, 10 years ago, and you see it again and you see that it's changed, or maybe it didn't change at all, you're going to look back to your past memories and be like, oh yeah, like I remember coming here with my boys. So Furin does a very, very good job of the flashbacks.
They interweave into the story so well and so smoothly, because like Aziz said, like, it only happens when it's most relevant to her. And it's kind of like, oh, her synapses in her brain are firing. It's like, oh, shoot, yeah. This is actually really important. Like, I perceive it differently. That's the biggest thing. She perceives it differently now.
Yep.
And with the people around her. And then she can actually apply these new lessons, so to speak, that she's just made with new individuals that are surrounding her right now, which is really cool to see.
And that ties into, like, another theme to it, which is, like, despite the fact that Furin looks back at her past memories now fondly, she definitely uses the past experiences to learn from, and then also understands that, like, as times modernize, like, everything evolves and things do improve, right? And you see that the most in her fight with this demon named Qual. So back when, like, the hero's party was trying to go kill the demon lord, one of the demon lord's commanders is this demon named Qual. And he was so strong, like 70 or 80 years ago when they fought him, that they couldn't kill him. So the best thing that Furin could do is seal him, and was like, well, I'm going to wait, and eventually there's going to come a time where I'll be strong enough to actually defeat him, but for now I'm going to keep sealing him. And as they go on their adventure, they pass by that village, and Furin's like, wait, there's something that I need to go do. And she brings Fern along with her. Fern is, again, like her apprentice. And she's like, all right, Fern, I want you to kill him. And she's like, wait, what? But I thought this demon was so strong that you guys weren't able to defeat him. You had, the best thing you could do is seal him. He's like, yeah, but now we're strong enough to defeat him. And what's crazy is like, she starts describing, like, what made this demon lord commander so powerful. Like, he made this, like, magic spell called, like, Zoltrak, that it was, like, this ultimate killing spell, and, like, it was unlike any other spell that had existed at that time, and the defensive magic at that time was not able to stop it. But what's crazy is, like, now she's like, hey, Fern, you're able to defeat this thing. And Fern is still, like, you know, maybe she's still an apprentice. She's maybe learned magic for a few years. And Furin has learned magic for hundreds of years. And Fern actually goes and defeats the thing. And she's like, wait, this super strong attack skill, Zoltrak, that this guy uses, this is just ordinary offensive magic. And yeah, she's like, exactly. What was so groundbreaking 70, 80 years ago is considered like the most basic spell nowadays. And that's life, right? Like, how many of us look at our smartphones and think that, like, oh yeah, like, this is normal, right? The internet is normal. You know, we talked before, like, on our first episode, like, we didn't have Crunchyroll. We didn't have internet. We had to go, you know, I had to go to the library to go watch YouTube videos. Like, all the stuff that we have today that seems so commonplace now wasn't back then. And now, like, I guess this is a long-winded way of me just saying, like, Furin does a really good job of showing, despite the fact that Furin has lived for hundreds of years, thousands of years, and she's learned so much, she still, like, appreciates the fact that, like, oh yeah, dude, even all this knowledge that I gained way back, a lot of it's obsolete now. Times are changing, and, like, what was great then is not great now. And, like, she really appreciates how much magic and how much the world is growing, because she can see it all from a bird's eye view.
It's really interesting because she's low-key aging herself. Like, yeah, back in my day, this wasn't around. I'm like, girl, I can wait. I mean, she has gray hair for a reason. No, but jokes aside, seriously, like, I find it really cool that, like, her fascination and love for magic, it's consistent. She consistently loves exploring new spells, new ways of combat and whatnot, right? And at the very beginning, with Himmel and the gang, she's very stoic about it. She's very serious about it. She's kind of, like, isolating herself and, you know, just focusing on her and, you know, her relationship with Flom at the time, right? But afterwards, her motivations change, her perceptions change. And what I absolutely love, and it shows through that last episode, second last episode, where she's, like, talking to Ciri, that OP mage that Flom was an apprentice to, and in turn, like, Freeman herself was an apprentice to in a way. She, like, goes in, and, you know, she's trying to, like, pass this exam, part of the whole exam arc, and she's asked by Ciri, like, hey, what is your favorite spell? Would you like to make flowers? And her motivations for making spells has changed definitely, because that's not because she just loves making flowers. It's related to the relationship she made along the way, especially Plum, who also enjoyed making flowers, which was so beautiful to see.
Yeah, it was her master's favorite spell, and so Ciri was very disappointed. But the reality was, like, that's Ciri, and she's unapologetic about who she is. Like, her whole goal back in the day, even before she met Himmel, was, like we said, to learn magic, but specifically she was looking for grimoires, like, you know, books of magic that her master had written. And 99% of the time, they were fake. And she knows that they're fake. But she still enjoys, like, the journey of finding them, and then that chance that, hey, maybe this might be legitimate. Or, like, hey, maybe there's going to be a spell in here that I'm going to learn. And what's so funny is, like, her philosophy on this all ends up trickling down to Fern, her apprentice.
Yeah.
Because Fern gets the ability, as a first-class mage, to learn any spell that she wants. She could have learned any incredible offensive spell to kill all the demons or to be the most powerful mage ever. What does she choose? Something Freerian would have chose. A spell to make washing clothes easier.
Honestly, relatable. I would totally learn that myself.
The most practical skill ever. And just the way Freerian, like, pats her head, and, like, Fern is so proud as she's getting her head pat. It's like, good job, Fern. I'm proud of you.
I was just tearing up. Look at that. Look at that.
Let's take a quick break here, and then that can segue us into the next theme that I wanted to talk about. Level up anime.
Level up anime.
Alright, we're back, and we've got a couple more themes of Freerun that we want to talk about. But I'd say, like, the main one, really, is the fact that, and I alluded to this earlier on in the episode, which probably seems like forever ago, but Freerun takes a lot of tropes, and it makes it seem like it's a tropey anime, because there's this whole medieval fantasy, the demon lord, you know, the party of heroes, yada yada. But it takes a lot of these tropes, is self-aware of them, and then does them differently. There are, like, a lot of times where this anime could be generic, and then it chooses to be the exact opposite.
Yeah, I know, like, a lot of fantasy animes that do lean into the tropes, but, like, to make fun of it, they do it in a comedic way. Like, oh yeah, you'll be really extra with, like, a huge harem, or, like, a guy being super OP with a sword and shield and all of that.
Yep, yep.
And, like, they just make fun of it, which is totally cool, too. I enjoy those animes, too, especially the ones that, like, make fun of tropes to the extent that it's extreme. But I love how Freerun does it the way that you said, Aziz, because, like, they lean into it, but, like, in a serious context, without making fun of itself in the fantasy genre, but also turning it on its head, so to speak.
Yeah, because, like, Freerun is super OP. We know that from the beginning. She's the mage of the party of heroes that killed the demon lord. Obviously, she's insanely strong. You technically, like, you never, like, truly fear that they're going to be defeated in whatever fight they're in, because you know that Freerun is super powerful and they'll be fine. But at the same time, like, they still manage to keep the suspense in the fights, and you're, like, you're still intrigued because of the way that they write this out and the way they kind of handle things, right? Like, an example would be the fight with, one example would be the fight with the dragon, right? When Stark joins, right? Before Stark joins the party.
That was a great episode, by
right?
the way. Oh my goodness.
Freerun could have killed the dragon, technically, if she really wanted to, but the way she did it is, like, no, it's going to be more impactful if I let Stark overcome his fears and let him grow and show him that, like, yeah, he is strong enough to kill this dragon. And the craziest part is, like, she was so sure of herself, more than just Stark's talent, but also the fact that, like, yo, this is Aizen's student. Like,
yeah.
I know Aizen, I trust him so much that if he had an apprentice and he praised him, then he's going to be really strong. And she
was absolutely.
Right.
Freerun's such a great teacher, by the way, on that note. Like, again, like, just going back to what you said earlier, Aziz, about that one scene where Fern, like, uses her skills to defeat that one demon that was, like, how did you word it again? I can't remember.
Like the demon, the one who was sealed, the demon lord commander?
Sealed, yes, exactly. Yeah. Sorry, guys, it's late. He was sealed. And, like, Freerun told Fern, like, hey, how about you actually trying to defeat him? And, like, I love how, like, she tries and builds confidence in those people that she already feels confident in already. They just need to build that confidence in themselves. And I love that, how she's such a great teacher in that sense. She kind of learns from Plum in a way.
Yeah, and what's cool about that, right, is, like, we continue to see it more and more. It's not just, like, this one moment and it's like, all right, now we're good. She continues showing them, like, this, like, faith in them. She continues showing them, like, yo, I trust you. I'm going to teach you. Remember the demon arc where they go to that town? Mm-hmm. And at first they like jail Firin because they think that she's like some, you know, she's some criminal or something like that. But like in reality, you know, they know she's not, blah, blah, blah. But like there's this town up north that is getting attacked by demons all the time to the point that they are so desperate that they decide we need to negotiate a peace treaty with these guys. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard on the leader of that city because his son died to the demon. So the fact that he has to like look at his son's killers and try to negotiate a peace treaty because they're that desperate, very hard on him, obviously. But Frieren is like, you guys, this is a terrible idea. Demons don't know anything about peace. At first, they make it seem like she's snake bitten by these guys. Obviously, she killed a demon lord. She fought their army or like, you know, things like that. But no, in reality, and this is another trope that like Frieren does a really good job of kind of like, you know, giving it a twist. It's like, we know the demons are usually the bad guys, but generally like in a shonen anime, the villains are villains because they're not really bad people, but like shit happened and they ended up becoming this way. The demons in Frieren are just genuinely terrible entities.
Like, we're not going to humanize them. They're bad. They're just bad.
They literally learned human speech to trick humans.
That's demon free.
They don't communicate amongst themselves. They just learn how to speak. And it's not like they genuinely know what they're saying. They're basically mimicking what they believe, like, oh yeah, these are the sounds that humans make in these situations, and they learn how to mimic that. So there's like a scene where there's this like little demon baby. It's like a flashback, because Fear is so great with the flashbacks. It's a flashback to this old city that like the Party of Heroes saved, and there was like this little demon. Sorry, it wasn't the Party of Heroes that saved them, was it? It was one of the guys in the city. In his past, their village housed a demon, and it was because they went and they fought off the demon invaders, and there was this little girl, and they felt bad for her, and the little girl's like crying, like, help, help, save me. And they're like, okay, like, we feel bad for her. Like, she seems like she's probably like a good person deep down. So like, let's, she's probably just got wrapped up in all this and is innocent.
Yeah,
like,
let's raise her right.
And so, yeah, let's raise her right. The head of the village raises her as a daughter, and she waits years until she gets the opportunity to kill the village leader and truly everybody else in the village. And when she gets thrown back into the same situation where she's about to get defeated again, she starts kind of crying the same thing.
Yeah.
That's when the Party of Heroes came in to save the day.
Exactly.
And Frieren tells them, like, no, you guys don't understand. Demons, they don't speak because this is what they mean. They just mimic the cries of humans. So they're just genuinely just truly evil things that only think about killing humans.
Exactly. It's more black and white in a way.
Which is really interesting given like how deep Frieren is. It's like for such a simple villain, but they do it really well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, I remember like watching that, and I too was like waiting. Like, as somebody who's watched so many anime over so many years, I personally was waiting for like, oh yeah, like, you know, they're humanizing the demon, you know, like maybe like they'll be raised right and stuff and whatnot. No, just really bad.
Yeah. Then we kind of learn that Frieren's real aim at learning offensive magic, she might not be the greatest like 1v1 mage v mage fighter, but she is the best when it comes to killing demons. And that's really the only reason why she ever learned offensive magic, was to protect people from the demons.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, all her motivations related to the people that she cares about the most.
Yep. And what's cool is now, again, normally in these anime, the main character is the student and they find the wise sensei to learn from and then overcome, right? But in Frieren, it's again the opposite, because Frieren is the OP mage. She takes on her students, Fern, Stark. Stark isn't a mage student, obviously, but she teaches him along the way.
Yeah.
And Aizen instead. And she teaches Fern. And she taught Fern, the only offensive magic that she really taught Fern is this magic that is super effective on demons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, it's just another, you know, it's just another way that Frieren kind of fights off these tropes, Frieren the anime, fights off these tropes where it's, again, the student is going to overcome her predecessor, her master, but it's not the main character that's doing it. It's the main character's student. The side character is going to be the one to do it. And as we watch, not only is Frieren growing, Stark is growing, Fern is growing, and Fern ends up being the one that becomes the first class mage and not Frieren.
Exactly. That's lovely. And the fact that, like, Frieren's so happy, regardless, that she's seeing her succeed, not just because she's under her wing, but because she was able to, you know, on her own, independently, like, build that confidence, build her repertoire of magic, and do her own thing with that magic, too. I'm sure Heiter, wherever he is, would be so proud of her, honestly. But honestly, like, I also really love that scene where, like, just going off the tangent, where the staff that Heiter gave her, like, the priest that gave it to her, shatters, and then Frieren goes out of her way to, like, find a way to rebuild it, and then comes back, and, like, it was very hard to rebuild it, because it just is an old wooden staff, honestly. There's anything crazy or mechanical about it. It's just a staff that got shattered into little bite-sized, like, pieces, and she was able to fix it, and because it's such, like, a sentimental piece for Fern, and she understands that, and also because it's somebody that Fern knows very well, it was very important to her. And again, human connection in that sense with those sentimental pieces in their life is so important too. And it's amazing to see how Fern, although, like I said before, she's a great teacher by instilling that confidence in the next generation, be it her students or Stark or so on, she herself is a student of her students. And I think I see that a lot, even in my own personal life. I feel like I'm learning from the younger generation about, like, the new evolving things in life and how to appreciate things differently. And the changing world, change is such a huge thing too, just how things are changing, how we're evolving with it. And I think Frieren's doing such a great job at accepting that and applying that to her future self.
There's the ongoing joke when it comes to Frieren that the story is about Frieren going on a journey with her two parents rather than the other way. Frieren might be their teacher, but when it comes to life, Fern and Stark are definitely more emotionally intelligent at the very least, even though they're still kids too at the same time. Because Fern is a mom in a lot of ways and takes care of Frieren, but then at the same time, she has her childish little squabbles, whether it's with Stark or whether she gets emotional and takes things the wrong way. Just like you know, with the story about the staff. Like, she was all sad because she thought that Frieren didn't care and didn't understand why the staff meant something, you know, more to her than just being a simple staff.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, Frieren was actually trying to figure out how to, how to go and fix it.
Exactly. I feel like it's really cool seeing how, again, they're kind of, like, older in a sense in that way. But then, like, I'll be honest, Stark is still a kid. My man, when that exam was going on at the very end, he was out there chilling, drinking all the juice. Best boy. Best character.
I just love that all this is happening and then they come back and Fern's like, Stark, why did you wake up at night? Like, why is your sleep schedule
so disappointed?
Like, he's like, you stayed up late, didn't you? He's like, yeah. You drank juice, didn't you? He's like, yeah. Papa boy got a sugar rush and stayed up all night.
Too much juice. Relatable. But oh my god. But then Fern's also cute because she's like, I'm mad. And so they get her little treat at some bakery to make her feel better. And she's every all time. Happy afterwards. I'm like, you love to see it.
Every time. Like, she starts getting pouty and then they go and buy her some sweets and then she gets happy again.
Zeus, you feel represented when you go get me a coffee?
Pretty much, yeah. They, that's why I can say Fern is still a mom. Because it doesn't matter how old she is. She's always going to be like this.
Yeah. She has her ways. But oh my gosh, I'm so excited for the next season. It's already next season coming up, and I can only imagine what's going to be rolling up in this journey with all the gang.
I guess the last thing I want to talk about before we start wrapping this up is
another
aspect that I love about Frieren, again, with kind of killing the tropes, is the party of heroes themselves. Because it's really fun. It's really fun to kind of look at how the rest of the world sees the party of heroes. Like, oh, you guys saved the world. You saved us from the Demon King. All that. But, like, normally, like, the tropes for the hero is, like, it's the chosen one. He pulled out, like, you know, the sword, or, like, he was chosen by the gods to to save the world. Himmel just wanted to be a hero. He was not chosen. Even in like this world, there's a sword that the hero is supposed to pull out, and that like deems you the hero. Himmel just had a replica sword. He never was actually able to pull out the real sword, but he still ended up being the hero. He ended up vanquishing the Demon Lord and saving the
fake
world.
Fake it so till you make it.
He faked it until he made it. And it just goes to show, and I love the lesson in that too, where it's just like, listen guys, like when it comes to life, it doesn't really matter if you're chosen to do this or not. Like if you want it and you work hard enough towards it, it'll happen one way or another. And exactly. I know that's like super naive and super tropey and stuff like that in its own sense, but like I just love that, like it's stuff like that, like how Aizen is the front runner and he's the, you know, the guy on the front lines, he's supposed to be like the big strong brave warrior, but he gets the most nervous and the most terrified before every single fight. You have Hider, who's the priest, and he's supposed to be like this noble holy person, but not only is he like corrupt in the sense that he's like an alcoholic, but he also at the same time is preaching all of these teachings from like their goddess, but deep down he's still unsure. Even after like 100 years, he's still unsure of whether or not he believes in it.
Mm-hmm. Until his very last breath. Yeah, you know.
And then Frieren, you know, as we've talked about the entire time, she's this wise old elf who's lived centuries upon centuries. But she's the most immature and the most childish of them all.
Exactly. Again, it just puts those tropes on its head and kind of psychoanalyzes it in a way, which is really interesting. I really appreciate how Frieren, and like the anime Frieren, I mean, is able to do that in such a limited amount of time.
It's what makes Frieren so good, despite the fact that it seems so simple. It's a slow burn. We've talked about that. It stays so consistent. There isn't like any like super wowing moments. There isn't anything that makes it so, you know, stand out in a crazy way, like Attack on Titan or like Full Metal Alchemist or like a lot of these other top anime. There's no like crazy like, oh shit moment, but it's consistent and it's just good the entire time. And at the end of the day, you look back on it and you're like, yo, that was fun. Like I don't really have any complaints. Like it had a purpose, it had a goal to do what it wanted to do, and it did it really well.
Exactly. No regrets were had.
We've spent like an hour talking about how amazing the show is, but it does have its flaws at the end of the day. And Shara, what would you consider a flaw? Or maybe it's not really a flaw, but what keeps it from being like a 10 out of 10 masterpiece in your eyes? Because I think we both view it as like a 9 out of 10.
I think it goes back to how I would recommend it to other people. Because I personally, like I said, gave it a 9 out of 10 because it's super incredible, beautiful atmosphere, really likable, lovable characters, whether they're a demon or not. You know, amazing music, you know, it's unique, like we said. It's like, it turns its head on like the hero saves the world and whatnot. And it's amazing in all its different aspects. But like I said before, it's more so an anime for a seasoned anime watcher. I feel like it's for someone that has watched a lot of fantasy anime or understands those tropes, like Aziz says, and can really, really appreciate like how it kind of changes it and looks at it differently. And because of its like slower pacing, can really divulge into those aspects, into those features. But if I were to recommend it to somebody who is more typically like into shonen, for example, or shoujo, just like, you know, more of a casual watcher, I feel like they wouldn't be able to appreciate all those nuances that Frieren has. And that's like honestly the only thing I can really say, to be honest. Like also just like, again, there's pacing, there's world building that's really good. I was able to connect to the characters, but I feel like I just need more time. I just want to explore the world more. I feel like it's too short. So I just want more essentially. But how do you feel these?
There's definitely got to be more seasons of Frieren because there's still so much of the story that we have not seen yet. There's so much of the world that we have not seen yet. That's why we're excited to read the manga, right? But for me, I think a lot of what you said and just in general, like the slow pace is not for everybody. And the fact that like the highs aren't insanely high, the lows are not low at all. There aren't very many lows, but like the highs aren't super high. And for some people that are like, they want that edge of the seat moment, like you're not really going to get that in Frieren.
Exactly.
you know, that's like, that's why it's like, it's a 9. There's really nothing to complain about. It's an amazing anime. Like you said, you may not appreciate a lot of the anime unless you've watched a lot of fantasy anime before, or you've watched a lot of anime in general to know the tropes and to see how Frieren is doing them differently. And if you're not somebody that appreciates good writing and good world building and all that, and good, well-written characters, dry humor, then you're not going to appreciate Frieren as much. So with that being said, it's still amazing, and it's still something I would recommend to most people.
Yeah, like, that's why we prefaced at the very beginning in our little non-spoiler section that it's the most exciting, boring anime, and, like, we wanted to watch it because it's so refreshing. Because for us, we've watched so much that, like, we want something different. This is so different. After 15-plus years of watching anime, it's so different, and that's why it's, like, leading the way on the ratings, at least currently.
I don't think it'll stay there forever, but I think that it's going to be a top 5 anime for a while.
Okay, I think Aziz is a toxic Fullmetal Alchemist fan. I found out today, folks.
I don't even think it's that. It's more like, I believe in the toxic Fullmetal Alchemist fans that they're going to... And also, I just think that, like, it's the new kid on the block. It's going to be super well hyped up. But I think, like, over time, people are going to binge this thing, and they're going to... They might not appreciate it as much as it gets more renowned.
Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, we still got more seasons. We might be able to see it turn the tide, so to speak, in many years to come. Just
maybe.
Like Frieren.
Yeah, maybe.
Just like Frieren.
All right, let's do like a couple like quick hitters before we start wrapping this up, Shara.
Sure.
Favorite character?
Oh my gosh, that's so hard, Aziz. Oh, I already said how much I liked everybody. I mean, okay, if we're not including Frieren, I feel like Frieren's a given.
Yeah, we'll take Frieren out of the equation.
Yeah, like, she's amazing. I want to say Stark.
That's a good choice.
Yeah, best boy. Honestly, I just love how he's just doing his own thing and vibing.
Yeah, because, like, Stark is a main part of the story, but then the last arc of the show, he's kind of just out on the sidelines doing his own thing. But, like, in general, you love him because he just doesn't really understand what's going on half the time. And, like, again, he's also, like, he's the hero. He's, like, the warrior. He's super strong. But he's, at the same time, the biggest coward out of them all. So
yeah, like, that whole, like, beginning sequence when he's first introduced to the story, I love. Because you have, like, his teacher, obviously Freeman's, like, close friend and colleague, that taught him, and he himself, like, you later find out in the episode that he was worried about his own student strength, of Stark's strength. He's like, oh my god, he's like really strong, but he doesn't even recognize it yet.
Yep. Aizen was terrified of him. That says something.
Yeah, it really, truly. So, like, eventually Stark knows it himself when he's like forced into the situation with that dragon in the episode, because he was like, you do you, I'm gonna see if he can grab some goodies in his nest right now.
Dude, and yo, when they fought the demons, like, in the middle of the season, dude, that was sick too. Like, it looked like really bleak for Stark for a second, but then he comes back and is just like, psych, I'm actually really strong.
Honestly, he's amazing. I'm so excited to delve more into his character, because we spent a lot on Fern, because Fern was like, that's why I was like, oh, is it Fern that I like the most, or Stark? Because Fern has such good highlights. Like, she picked a spell to clean her laundry and her clothing. I love that for her.
I wish I had that spell, I'll tell you that. I hate doing laundry.
Yeah, you spent a long time folding.
I have a lot of clothes.
Nice. Good job.
All right. My favorite character, the runner-up would probably be Sign. He's like this priest that comes up in the middle. This priest that comes up like in the middle of the season, he comes for a few episodes and then leaves. But my favorite character is Denken. And he's like, he comes in at the end of the show, or at least the end of the season. And he's this like really old dwarven mage who is like this imperial mage and is super, like, not only super strong, but he's like very influential in the world. And he's got like a, you know, decent, I wouldn't say it's a super sad backstory or anything. Like, it's fairly common. Like, he kind of does everything for his deceased wife. And he's like, I worked so hard to make all this money and have all this power to try to save her. And I didn't get it until she passed on. But he's just so chill, and he's so wise, and he's so humble. And he just like knows he's really strong, but he's not arrogant about it. and he's like very real about like there are some moments, you know, like when they're taking the their second test that are like pretty fucking scary. And even he's like, yo, if this wasn't a test, I would have bowed out forever ago.
Like, he's real.
It's like, yo, this is probably the second or third strongest character in the entire show so far. And he's like, yo, I ain't trying to deal with all of this. But, you know, he's, and plus I love his relationship with like his teammate, you know, little grandfather, granddaughter. Oh, I just love, God, he's a grandfather to everyone. He's a grandfather to everyone. He reminds me of Uncle Iroh from Avatar The Last Airbender. So I love him.
Oh my gosh. The fact that like you see like that one girl with donuts and snacks all the time because he keeps buying her stuff. I'm like, that's such grandfather energy. You love to see it.
He's the type of guy that like you would walk up to him, you could be like a total stranger, he'd like be nice to you and he's like, here's a dollar, go buy yourself something nice at the store.
I think he's like one of those grandpas that like always has like a little hard candy in his pocket to give to the kids. He's like, you want a little treat? I got a little treat.
I just aspire to be that type of grandpa one day.
one day.
Long time from now.
You got the beard.
It's getting there. All right, Shara. Favorite scene?
Oh my gosh. I think... that's a hard one. I want to say it's either the restaurant scene, funny enough, that we mentioned earlier, because I found like a really cool comparison to like Change and stuff. If we're talking about deep things, I was joking around with like, okay, obviously Stark and stuff is my favorite character. He is my favorite character. But like, if we're talking about like psychoanalyzing for a bit, like I love that restaurant scene because, again, like I'm not going to rehash what we just said, but the fact that like they appreciate it at the time when they first went to the restaurant, like how amazing the food was and whatnot, and then they come again and she's still obsessed with the food, but it's changed in a way which reflects the change that happened within her and within the people around her. Just really goes to show like her character growth. I love that for her.
I forgot to mention before with that scene too, another trope killer. Normally in fantasy shows, the elves are like vegetarians and stay far away from meat. And then here you have Frieren like eating a shit ton of steak.
Honestly, that's at Korean barbecue, not gonna lie.
Yeah, seriously. She was also at Korean barbecue or shabu shabu.
Yeah.
My favorite scene is her fight with Aura in the middle of the season. When they're fighting the demons, right? And Stark and Fern had defeated like kind of the underlings. But there's this demon commander that the city was so terrified of that they were willing to do a peace treaty with the demons. And it's because this demon lord commander, Aura, is waiting outside ready to invade the city otherwise. Well, shit, they were going to do it anyway, right? But they pretended like they weren't. And Aura is so arrogant and so, because she's so strong, right? And she thinks that with her power, she is going to be able to kill anything in their way. And it's at this point that we realize just how strong Frieren is. Because, like, we know she's strong. Like, we know she's the, you know, the mage of the demon, of the party of heroes that killed the demon lord, right? We know all of this. But we don't know how she's going to get out of this fight, especially when, at the end of the day, we don't know that Frieren... We know that Frieren has a lot of mana, but we don't think that she's anything that extraordinary. We just think that she just knows a lot of magic. And Aura has this scale that whoever has more mana can control the other person. And so, you know, at the climax of this fight, we find out that Frieren actually hides her mana the entire time and was even able to trick a demon like Aura. And we find out just how skilled you have to be in order to hide your mana like that. And we realize that Frieren has spent hundreds of years perfecting this skill so that people cannot tell that she is hiding her mana from other people. And so when she finally does it, like the scene is literally just all of a sudden Aura realizes like Frieren's mana is so, there, she has so much, it's like encompassing the entire field around her. Just absolutely crazy. And then when she realizes that the scale has now tipped towards Frieren, and you know, Frieren has a lot, you know, tells her like, yo, you fucked up.
Yeah, and you're bluffing. She was bluffing real good.
She was bluffing. And Frieren, you know, and then at the very end, right, when Frieren gets control of the scales and control Aura and tell her to do something, she just tells Aura, kill yourself. And then as she walks away, we just see like Aura put a knife, her knife to her throat and slit her own throat and kill herself. And it's just like, oh shit.
It was very badass.
It was like the most shonen like part of this entire anime, but it was so cool.
When I saw that scene, I was like, I need to cosplay as Frieren right now. She's so cool. I want to be like her. But like, oh my goodness. Like, I love that scene too because of the trickle-down effect. Because we learned that as the audience about how she's able to control her mana and how she can also perceive like faltering in other people's mana. It trickles down to, again, her student, Fern, who later on is able to notice the faltering of Siri's, like, own mana as well. And she's like, wait, you noticed something. Okay. And she kind of learned that from Frieren in a way, which is really cool.
Yep. All right. I guess, like, last bit. What are we looking forward to in the next season?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, besides, like, learning more about my best boy, Stark, and him getting more juice. I think, like, it'll be really interesting to see, like, another person join their little group, I guess. Like, again, we had that priest before. Where did he go, by the way?
He went the other way to a different town to go meet his boy.
Yeah, right? Like, is he going to come back? I'm just wondering.
I don't know. But I think for me, the thing I'm looking forward to the most, honestly, is as they explore more and more of these cities, as they go north, I just want to see more flashbacks to Frieren's days with the party.
Yeah,
but that's honestly what I look forward to the most. I really love those flashbacks.
Just makes me more sad because, like, again, like, if I were to name, like, my favorite characters, be like Frieren, then like Frieren / Stark, and then Himmel, actually.
Yeah.
Because, like, I love Himmel's character, and, like, it, in a way, like, when Frieren looks back at these moments, she's like, I actually really cared about Himmel, you know? Like, I really, like, enjoyed his company, and, like, missing him in a different way. I'm wondering if she's going to start having recollections of certain feelings she may have not noticed before, you know? That'd be interesting. You know, the shoujo in me kind of wants to see that.
That would be interesting. I don't think it's ever going to go into that type of direction.
No.
I kind of hope it stays. I kind of personally hope it just stays as, like, friendship and, like, close friends. But, I mean, you know, Fern and Stark, on the other hand, that might be interesting.
They had a cute little dance sequence. You remember that?
Oh, of course. Of course I do. Yeah.
But yeah, exciting times, guys. I'm really excited to see what they're going to make out of this because I'm itching through the manga now, personally.
Yeah, season 2 can't come any sooner. All right, Shara, is there anything else about Frieren that we want to talk about? Because, man, we just spent like an hour talking about everything that's great and then some of what's not so great.
Honestly, I'm just trying to figure out like what items I need to make my Frieren cosplay for Anime Expo. Like, this entire time while you're talking, I was just like on Etsy and Amazon. Sorry, I was not listening.
I'm used to it.
The earrings are really cool, I found.
Oh, wait, actually.
Do you want to be my Stark? Do you want to be Stark? Or do you want to be somebody else?
I can't be Himmel? I was going to say, I can't be Himmel? Come on.
I'm not
a fake
hair.
Hero.
I don't have to pull off the blue hair, that's all I'm saying.
I can be like the old Himmel when he's like old, like 80 years old, like walking.
Yeah, grow out your beard and just like hunch over the entire time with a little cane. Oh my god, be perfect. Couple goals. You hear to hear first, folks.
All right. I think that's a sign that we've said basically all that we need to say. But thank you guys. If you listened up until this point, thank you guys so much. And let us know, like, you know, if you liked what we talked about, if you like this style of episode, let us know. If there's anything that we missed, if there's any other parts of Frieren that you guys really vibed with and really liked, like, let us know in the comments. Yeah, I mean, just hope that most people end up enjoying what is probably one of the better anime to come out in recent years.
And follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Level Up Anime. Thank you very much.
Level Up Anime Pod. Level, yes. At Level Up Anime Pod, to be clear.
L-E-V-E-L. Yeah, spell it all out.
Oh my god.
On that note, my name's Shara.
All right, let's see the outro. Hold on.
What's your name, Aziz?
My name is apparently ha 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 because I can't
stop
laughing. All right. My name is Aziz.
My name is Shara.
And this was Level Up Anime.